Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Ghost Nobody here, ready to bring you chapter 148 of Radiance, my original Fallout fanfiction. As always, if you can like, share, and subscribe to this wherever you can, and leave feedback at sites via fanfiction.net, archiveofourown.org, or even at my own website, ghostnobody.com. I always enjoy reading your comments and seeing what you're thinking. And, you know, if you've got any ideas, you're always free to leave them on my Discord or on these sites. And, you know, if I like the ideas, I might pick them up and use them. You never know. But if you do pop over to ghostnobody.com, why don't you check out Stormrider? You know, if big surly dragoness girls, orcs and elves, magical realms, and human mages are your sort of thing, check it out. You might enjoy it. And also, while you're there, why not pop over to the Ghostly Link section? Check out Mortis, my original novel, for sale on both Smashwords and on Amazon. Pick it up. Help support me and keep me doing what I love, bringing unlikely alien romance stories to you good people. So, without any further ado then, let's get on with the show, shall we? Oh, but first the usual legal disclaimer. I don't own Fallout or anything to do with it, that's all Bethesda. I just keep Crazy Tales happy. Let's get on with the show. Chapter 148, A Matter of Perspective. Yumi focused her mind as she did. She felt the connection to the world around her strengthen. To the uninitiated, this sudden influx of stimulus could be rather overwhelming. In fact, it had been rather so for Yumi when her abilities had first emerged back in the laboratory of Dr. Chalmers. She remembered it vividly, as if it had only been yesterday. It had like been snapped out of a dream and thrown headfirst into reality by a whole cold hard slap to the face. Her mind had just not been ready for it, and it had violently rebelled at this connection to everything around her, trying to push it away and shield her. But this had resulted in her releasing a blast wave of energy that very nearly destroyed the room she, along with three researchers, had been in. Yumi's first instinct to realising what she had done was to feel immense fear. Firstly, for the fact that she'd accidentally hurt two people, and secondly, she was going to be in major trouble for damaging all the expensive equipment that she'd been repeatedly told not to touch. But rather than be angry, Dr. Chalmers had seemed positively delighted by this occurrence, strangely enough. This was also the time she'd been taken from the wards and sent down to the isolation unit where she would remain, as Chalmers used cruel and inhumane experiments to force Yumi to hone her abilities to a more controllable and usable level. She had no idea how long she was truly in that place, as every day seemed to simply blur into the next one. She also didn't know if there was a result of her own mind trying to protect her, or something the researchers in there had done to her, which had resulted in the vast majority of her memories being blocked out. But when Zixi had gotten into her skull, she'd brought it all back with a sharp snap and a vivid clarity that seemed to still kind of haunted her. Could not, however, deny the effectiveness of the results of these brutal experiments. They had indeed honed her abilities and sharpened her mind, allowing her to tap into the potential that she'd never dreamed possible of within herself. Now when she felt the world reaching out to her, she didn't shy from it. She embraced it, and in turn controlled it. Now it was she who bent it to her will, rather than the other way around. And thanks to Zixi and the rest of Wisp's people, showing her that not only the truth but her true reality, she swore that she would never be anybody's puppet ever again. She often found herself wondering about the others still trapped in that place, and it's like she and Arthur and Wisp had left behind. Would Chalmers punish them for their betrayal? Would she go out of her way to implement even more stringent safeguards to prevent any more of them coming over to the side of the Free Peoples? She couldn't imagine a megalomaniac and control freak like Chalmers taking such a slight laying down. As the thought of how Chalmers would retaliate against the innocent others for what they themselves had done, anger surged through Yumi and she felt a powerful heat building up within her. Stretching out her hand, she focused her mind and channeled the heat towards it, forcing it to connect with a cardboard target at the far end of the range, which shaped was dark like an enclave soldier in power armour. A bolt of flame shot from her hand and connected to the target, dumping all of that heat directly into it and causing it to burst into flames. And another one bites the dust. A voice from down the hall, down the far end of the shooting range that they'd set up in the lowest part of the vault, was now the HQ of both the railroad and local chapter of the Free People, sang. Yumi leaned out from behind the shooting booth shields that separated each shooter from one another to allow them to focus as to protect one another, and she saw Adam grinning at her with one of his ear protectors cocked up on top of his head. "Sorry," she said, and Adam chuckled and shook his head. "For what? Pretty sure that's kind of what they're there for. Though usually the rest of us are just content to fill them full of holes rather than turn them into a pile of ash," he said with a grin that caused Yumi to laugh a little bitterly. "Yeah, most of you don't have the ability to reach out and touch someone with flames hotter than the surface of the sun now, though, do you?" she said, and his grin widened. "No, but I have been told that I can deliver quite a scathing burn with my sharp wit from time to time, though I don't think it's quite the same thing," he said, making her laugh again. Adam's demeanour changed as he seemed to sense that something was really troubling Yumi, and he placed his gun down before making his way over to her booth. "You okay?" he asked, and she glanced up at him. "I don't know. I just get so angry when thinking about all the things that were done to me, and the things that are still being done to those like me by those fucking bastards. I just feel like I can't control it sometimes," she said, and he nodded somewhat empathetically. "Yeah, I can kind of imagine. I know it's not the same thing, but I still kind of get angry sometimes for allowing what happened to me to happen. I feel like I should have stopped things. I should have not let Jewel tarnish herself the way she did. And then I get angry at myself for being angry on her behalf, but I forget that I was the victim in it all. But then I remind myself of what Zixi showed me. That I can live as a victim, or I can rise up and be better than that. That I can reclaim my own strength and push myself forwards instead of living in the past, living with all the what-ifs and maybes. That's when I remember the grief and self-loathing that Jewel felt when she realised what she'd done, and even now still struggles with it. She'll often break down crying because she's worried she's harmed me or wronged me in some way, and I have to reassure that I'm okay. But I still see it in her eyes. She still, even now, believes she's not worthy of me, and struggles with it," he said. "How do you cope with that?" she asked, and he gave her a warm and somewhat genuine smile. "I try to look at things from another perspective. I try to step outside of myself and look at how the world looks when you look through it a perspective of another. It can really illuminate some of the motivations behind their actions and quirks sometimes," he said. Yumi thought about this for a moment. Yeah, I could see why that would work for you. Though I don't think that will work in my case, because as soon as I start thinking about charmers, I start wanting to punch things or burn them to a crisp," she said, gesturing to the charred remains of the target down the end of the range to prove her point. "Yeah, that's probably not going to go down so well, but it might help to look at it like this. She and those like her that tormented you, tortured you, and abused you," he began. Yumi shot him a scowl. "Not helping, Adam," she interjected, and he nodded and waved a hand at her. "I know, but just listen. She and all her kind did those vile things to you, but they also taught you how to survive. They gave you the will to push through what not any normal person could ever hope to endure. And then she made her biggest mistake ever. She pushed you right into the arms of those who would not only show you the real truth, but show you how to turn what she gave you back on her. Those who give you a purpose to call your own and a freedom to fight for. She gave you the power, but we showed you how to use it for good. Now, nothing can stop you," he said. Yumi sat and thought about this, and then she nodded. Yeah, you're right. I'm free to live however I want from now on. To do what I want, with who I want, when I want. Plus I have the power to make sure that no one can ever take it from me ever again. Thanks, Adam," she said, and he nodded before patting her on the shoulder. "Do me a favour. If you do find yourself someone special down here somewhere, or down the road, if you get into an argument with them, try not to turn them into a pile of ash. I doubt Sev nor Wisp really appreciate it. Going to be a hell of a lot of paperwork," he said, making her laugh. "I'll try to bear that in mind," she said, and with a wave she headed off back into the vault, actually feeling a lot better about her situation now. The one thing that kept nagging at the back of her mind. Whatever happened to 9? As she was walking, she kind of got lost in her thought, so much so that she somehow managed to miss the giant 8-foot-tall condor girl who was coming the other way and bumped straight into her before landing hard on her ass. Ouch! Shit! Sorry, I was kind of lost in thought there, Yumi said, looking up and feeling her eyes go wide as she saw the large-chested and feathered-crested head that was peering back down over her. No worries there, little sister. I'm pretty sure you came off worst in this brief exchange, don't you? Though I am rather impressed you managed to miss me, of all people. Think I'll have to chalk that up as a new one. No one's ever managed to be that lost in thought that they've managed to miss me before, Letitia said, reaching down with a large feathered hand to lift Yumi back onto her feet. Letitia had plucked Yumi off the ground and deposited her back on her feet like she weighed less than one of her own feathers. And Yumi had to admit that quite impressed her. How the hell did someone with that much muscle mass manage to soar through the skies like it was effortless? Let's just say somewhat of a difficult train of thought. Looks like the fucker crashed right into the station, though, doesn't it? Yumi said as the large condor girl placed her back down on her feet, and Letitia let out a laugh that was somewhere between a caw and a bark, and then drew her beak up into a devious snarl. You're calling me a station, human girl? She said with a devious glint to her golden eyes. Yumi spotted it right away and felt a grin of her own tug at the corners of her mouth. Well, you're as good as. Think you've got the muscle in places that don't even actually have places. I'm pretty sure that if you hit the irons around here, you'd probably make our resident claw girl jealous, Yumi said, referring to the weights in the gym that a lot of the soldiers, and indeed Leah, like to hang around. Ha, if fucking only. Might be strong, but those claw girls you got lurking about here are something else. Keep getting told that Leah is one of the smaller of those girls. Fuck me, I hate to see the bigger versions of her, Letitia said, making Yumi grin. Yeah, I hear her mother and her cousin are supposed to be nearly twice her size, especially Vess, who's the alpha matriarch claw. Though I haven't quite got to meet her yet. Kind of hard to imagine, though. Plus, from what I hear, those Gator Claw girls have got going up on in Nuka World with 7 stomping around supposed to even be bigger again, Yumi said, and Letitia's feathery eyebrows shot up in surprise. Seems you guys got all sorts stomping about here, don't you? Really starting to like you guys. A girl can really be herself around here, Letitia said, and Yumi nodded. Yeah, gotta give it to the Free Peoples. They do this acceptance crap better than anyone else you could ever hope to meet. I mean, look at them. We got human-loving claws, claws-loving super mutants, human-loving aliens, synthetic sparkly cloud girls-loving spider boys, gay claws-loving human boys. Hell, we got it all, Yumi said, gesturing with open arms to the vault all around her, making Letitia chuckle and clack her beak as she fluffed her feathers up like she was wearing a large feathered headdress. Well, maybe not all, little sister. Well, not yet, anyway. But I'm sure, given a little time, we can probably fix that somewhere down the road, she said with a wink that left Yumi feeling a little confused. Is she missing something here? The pair headed up to the surface, and no sooner had they stepped out into the sunlight than Letitia took a massive lungful of air that actually made Yumi think she was going to pull her off her feet by how deeply she inhaled. Ah, smell that air, girl. Nothing quite beats the open air around here, especially after being stuck underground for so long. Seriously don't know how you humans can manage it for so long. I'd go fucking crazy if I didn't have the chance to get into the open skies and stretch my wings from time to time, Letitia said, opening said wings to an impressive span and giving them a flap to prove her point. The force of the gust unleashed by Letitia's massive wings caused Yumi to stagger a bit before bracing herself against a wall. Hey, steady on, big girl. Some of us don't have massive fucking talons anchoring our feathered asses to the ground, you know, she said, making Letitia shoot her a grin. And how would you know my ass is feathered then, hmm? Got something to confess, have you? She said, making Yumi shoot her crack a grin of her own. No, I'd rather see that feathered fucking stale sticking up out of your pants, big girl. Don't take a fucking mastermind to work out what it's stuck into, you know? She shot back. That doesn't change the fact you were looking now, does it, human girl? Letitia said with a grin still plastered to her beak. Come on, let's get to flying so we can stop talking about your feathered arse, shall we? For I'm tempted to set fire to your tail feathers, Yumi said, and Letitia roared with laughter. Now, you're the one who brought up my fine feathered ass. No need to take out your frustration in it. Not that way, anyhow, Letitia said. God, you're as bad as the claws around you, I swear to Christ, Yumi said. Gotta compete in the race if you want to win it, girl. Can't let all the claws snatch up all the pretty humans around you now, can we? Need the practice. I'm thinking to fucking starting to think your kind not too long that I hated them. But now I'm spending more time with you people. Kind of had my eyes open to the good sides of you lot. And the more time I spend around you, the more it's rubbing off on me, I think. You know, Letitia said as she began to flap her huge wings and fanning her tail feathers to lift herself up into the air. Yeah, I suppose I get that. I was kind of an introvert myself when I first got here. Might look human, but I am rather different, you know, Yumi said, creating a swirling vortex of flame around herself and lifting herself into the air with the rising heat, which did serve perfectly to illustrate her point. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, I can see the point. Please try not to set my tail feathers or arse on fire. You know, I worked bloody hard to get them looking this good, you know, Letitia said as she circled around Yumi while keeping enough of a distance that the flames didn't touch her. As the pair flew up high above Boston, taking in the sights as they went. Thanks to Yumi's unique way of flying, she could easily maintain pace with the large condor girl as she cleaved through the sky, gliding along with ease. Until eventually, the pair decided to stop off for a rest atop one of the highest towers in the city, and to grab a spot of lunch, given that they had both decided to bring some food with them on this bit of an impromptu flight. Now this is the sort of view I've missed since we've been cooped up in those concrete tunnels of yours, Letitia said, leaning out over the city and landscape all around them while leaning on a railing. Hey, they ain't my tunnels. You speak like I fucking built the place, Yumi said somewhat tersely. Letitia glanced at her with one large golden eye. Sorry, I meant no offence. I meant humans, not, you know, you personally, she said, gesturing to her with a hand. Yumi let out a bit of a bitter laugh and leaned back against the wall of the observation deck on which they were having their lunch. Honestly, I feel I have as much in common with other humans these days as you do. No matter how much I look like one of them, I'll always be apart from them. You know, different, she said, letting a flame swirl and dance around in her hand to emphasize the point. Does it hurt? Letitia asked, and Yumi looked up at her curiously. Does what hurt? She asked. When you touch fire like that. I mean, if I did that, I'd burn my feathers clean off. But you hold it like I would hold this piece of bread here, Letitia said, lifting up the large bread roll that's packed with meat that she was pecking huge chunks out of for Yumi to see. Yumi shook her head. It did it when I tried to do it at first, back when I was young. Back then, I had no idea what I was doing. I could call to the elements, but I couldn't control them. So they'd hurt me as if they would hurt you. But as I learned to adapt my body to their effects, I kind of learned to insulate myself from them. Now I can hold fire, or even lightning, in the palm of my hand like it was nothing more than a cup of water, she said, making lightning jump between her hands and then make them dance along her fingers, which made the large condor woman's feathers ruffle up in surprise. Well, I must say you are very full of surprises, Yumi, she said, getting closer to take a look at the sparks dancing and walking along between Yumi's fingers like they were a Jacob's ladder. Yumi looked at her with a slightly bittersweet smile. Oh, you have no idea how true that is, she said as the big condo girl sat down next to her. You seem sad. What's wrong? Letitia asked, placing a large feathered hand on Yumi's slender shoulder and causing the little human woman to look up at her. While I'm overjoyed at the progress of the free peoples have made this world making better for everyone, I sometimes do wonder to myself, is it all really worth it? I keep thinking that if we have to fight this hard and give so much in order to just have people see us in a better light, are they really worthy of our time? Does that make me a bad person? Yumi said, feeling a rather powerful pang of guilt as she let the words spill from her lips. Letitia gave her shoulder a squeeze and ruffled her richly covered feathers in an unknown gesture, but the implication behind it was pretty clear. She was expressing some empathy with her. This is a thought that I've mulled over myself, and if I'm truly honest with you, and myself, I've wondered if those who require some kind of proof or sacrifice from us are really even worthy of our time or our trust, she said, causing Yumi to look up at her in surprise. Guess I'm not the only one that feels this way then, huh? She said, and Letitia shook her head. No, you're not. But would you like to hear what the conclusion I came to? She asked, and Yumi nodded. Yeah, I kind of would, actually, she said. The conclusion that I reached is that, yes, it is a worthy thing for us to fight for. Because they say nothing truly worth doing in this world is ever easy. As the minorities in this world, the burden falls upon us to show the majority that we're not something to be feared, but rather accepted and embraced. We cannot expect them to simply trust us simply because we exist, as that's not the way the world works. Respect and trust are earned, not given freely. This is true of all species, not just humans. So if we wish to show them that at our cause we're truly no different than they are, we must show them that this is the case. And I believe that this is what your free peoples truly understands. This is why they're the ones willing to stand up and take the burden upon their shoulders. They take the hard fight on so others may have an easier time. Because if word of their deeds spread, then in all time, all will benefit from the result of their sacrifice and hard work. To me, this is a noble act, worthy of respect. And at the least we can do is join them in this endeavour and make it easier, Letitia said. Letitia Yumi thought on this, and then nodded in agreement as she thought about the struggles the others had to simply fit in within the ranks of the Free Peoples. Those like Fuller, who betrayed his own unit in order to warn the Free Peoples of what was coming their way, and taken up their banner to fight alongside them now. She knew that in her heart, he would have had to have worked incredibly hard to earn their trust, as they'd have no reason to believe him until he proved his word and himself to them. But through word and deed he'd done just that. And that had opened a door for her, as by the time she'd caught up with him and kidnapped him, his word had actually carried enough weight with it that they forgave her transgression and allowed her the chance to prove herself to them. Now, she stood among them, as a full member and a valued person in her own right. So yeah, what Letitia had said really did make sense. It wasn't upon the majority to simply accept you just because you wished it. You had to prove to them that you were worthy of it. Nobody in this world owes you a damn thing. If you want something, you have to earn it, she said, remembering something that she'd heard Number 9 say. Exactly. It's something that I believe my people have come to realise as well, as they now have seen the power of those who walk the lands below our floating world. It was easy for us to think that we were untouchable, floating high in the clouds. But now we see the truth. We were very close to being blown out of the sky. And if it were not for the efforts of the Free Peoples to bring us closer together with our enemies, sit us all down, and show us that we are not truly all that different from one another, the results could have been catastrophic. So yeah, Yumi, the goal of earning acceptance is a difficult and trying one, and it may really feel unfair at times. But the end result is always worth it. Letitia said, giving her a rather pretty smile with her large hooked beak. Thought it was supposed to be the owls who were the wise ones, not the condors, Yumi joked, causing Letitia's feathers to ruffle until she realised the human girl was just teasing her. I'll have you know that we condors are renowned for our wisdom, Letitia said, striking a noble pose with her hands on her wide hips while she fanned out her large tail and looked off into the distance, trying to make herself look heroic. All it did was make Yumi giggle. And here I thought we were known for having overly feathery backsides and punching holes in walls, Yumi said with a playful grin as the big condor girl clacked her beak at her in mock outrage before adopting a smirk of her own. And back to my original question of how would you know exactly how feathery my backside is, human girl? Still got something you wish to confess? She retorted, making Yumi blush slightly, but she never lost her grin. Well, it's kind of hard to miss, you know, as you've been shoving it in my face since you struck that oh-so-noble pose of yours. Yumi shot back and Letitia chuckled. Don't pretend you haven't loved every moment of it, Letitia said, swishing her tail feathers back and forth along with her surprisingly sculpted arse, which was hidden below her special combat suit which allowed her to maintain flight by working on aerodynamics. Probably like it a whole lot more if you weren't covering it up with that bloody flight suit. Yumi blurted out before turning bright red as she realised what she'd just said out loud. Because not only she just revealed something she'd been trying to hide within her heart, but a two-secret-for-one double whammy at that. Yumi was bisexual. Yumi had indeed been struggling with this part of herself on top of everything else since she'd truly figured it out. Now, while she did tend to lean more towards males, there'd always been a part of her that kept pulling her eyes back to parts of females that she found alluring, such as a nicely shaped bum, for instance, or in this case, not only one that was nicely shaped, but covered in exotic feathers too. Letitia's beak dropped open in surprise and Yumi's flush deepened as she jumped to her feet. Forget I said anything, I was just, you know, playing around was all, she said quickly, moving over to the rails away from Letitia and leaning against them, trying to catch her breath. Her every instinct told her to take to the skies, fly as far away as fast as she could so she could find herself a nice hole to crawl into and die. But that's when she heard the clacking of talons on concrete behind her and a strong hand planted itself on her shoulder. Yumi was about to start launching into a second round of apologies, and she was spun around on the spot with quite some force. And before she knew what was happening, Letitia had swept the slight Japanese girl up off her feet and into her incredibly strong arms. Letitia's hug was so tight that Yumi could feel every contour of her incredibly powerful body under her suit and through the feathers that coated her. Because of their height difference, Yumi's head all but disappeared into Letitia's cleavage. When she tried to pull it out to catch her breath, the big condor girl lowered her own head to meet her, pulling her into her very first kiss. It was obvious that Letitia had not used to this very human display of affection, but she was still trying her hardest for her all the same. The sensation of her hard beak contrasting with her incredibly long and soft tongue were mind-melting. Yumi simply felt like letting herself go and sagging into Letitia's strong arms as the condor girl deepened her kiss and pushed her long tongue into Yumi's mouth. The pair finally parted with Yumi gasping for breath as Letitia's incredibly long tongue retracted back into her beak. She looked up at the big condor girl who was still smiling down at her. I almost hadn't wished to hope that one as beautiful as you could feel the same way as I do about my own gender. Among my kind, it's incredibly rare, but it does happen. But then, being among humans, it was becoming most unbearable, because I discovered yet another hidden part of myself. I like human girls more than I do the girls of my own kind, Letitia said in an uncharacteristically soft voice that screamed unsureness in herself. Yumi couldn't believe that this was happening to her. Before her brain had even processed any of it, she found herself freeing one of her arms from Letitia's powerful grip, so she could reach up and stroke the incredibly soft feathers of the condor girl's face. And no sooner had she touched her than Letitia leaned her big head into the touch. I never imagined I'd get to free this part of myself. But it looks like I can finally give my heart wings, and real ones at that, Yumi said softly. Letitia gently led Yumi back over to the place where they'd been sitting to have their dinner, and with a little bit of manoeuvring she managed to seat herself first on the floor and pull the young Japanese woman down onto her lap, so that she was sat upon her large thighs, and while she held her tightly against her body, as if she was worried the young human woman would suddenly turn into a puff of smoke, and she'd awaken to discover it had been all yet another dream. Do you only like girls, or boys as well? Yumi asked softly as she rested her against the large condor woman's massive breasts. Only females. How about you? Letitia asked. Both. I always thought there was something wrong with me in the lab that I grew up in. I always didn't seem to see anyone else like me in that respect. Well, not that I knew of, anyway. Fuck, for all I know, all of those people could have been the same as me, but it sure as hell didn't look that way. So when I found myself looking at girls in the same way that I was looking at boys, I began to feel like there was something completely wrong with me. But then I met the Free Peoples, and I saw all the amazing flavours that love can come in, and I began to think to myself that maybe, just maybe, with them, I could truly be free, Yumi said softly. Letitia lifted the young woman's chin so they were now looking into one another's eyes. And as soon as she met Letitia's massive golden eyes, she could see the fear and feelings being mirrored back at her. If you will, give me a chance to prove myself worthy of you, the chance you are taking on me, I will. I swear it to you, Yumi. I will prove it to you. Letitia said softly, making Yumi's heart leap with pure joy in her chest before bouncing around like in her ribcage, like one of those fucking Super Bowl things that Malachi had been annoying everyone with in the bunker by launching it and trying to catch it, the rebound off the wall as it came back at him like a rubber bullet. Yumi couldn't find the words to say what she needed to, so all she could was nod her head. And to her surprise, Letitia let out a screech before hugging her so tightly that Yumi's head vanished back into her breasts again. As Yumi's heart settled to a more rhythmic thumping against her ribs, she gripped Letitia's large flanks and just held on tightly, simply enjoying the feeling of the embrace that two interspecies women were sharing together. Finally, the pair slowly released one another. But Yumi didn't make any kind of move to get off her lap. Instead, she simply sat there looking up at the massive condor woman and smiling at her. You know, I guess we'd probably start getting back before Wisp winds up sending out a search party to look for us. We've already been out too long, and you know she gets about her people's safety. And given that we didn't really tell anyone where we were going, probably won't be long before we have searches out, Yumi said with a chuckle. Too late for that, Fire Girl. You really gotta learn to bring a bloody radio with you if you two are gonna sneak off for the cuddle somewhere. Save me having to climb my fluffy arse up these bloody towers, that's for sure. A very familiar voice said from above them. As both Letitia and Yumi looked up, they saw a very familiar spider boy hanging upside down above them from a ledge. Holy shit, Malachi! Yumi explained, leaping to her feet in alarm, which happened to be just before Letitia leapt out on her own talons. Thankfully, with the strength in those thighs, she might have well hip-thrust Yumi over the side of the railing in alarm if she hadn't managed to get off her first. Well, who did you think it was up here? Ven? Pretty sure you'd have heard him hauling his scaly arse up here, don't you? Malachi said with an upside-down grin at the pair before he reached for his radio. Jumper 1-1 to HQ. I've located Featherbrain 1-1 and Firefart 1-1. All good, safe and sound, over. Malachi said, grinning at the pair. Featherbrain 1-1? Letitia exclaimed, putting her hands on her large hips indignantly. Firefart 1-1? I'll give you fucking Firefart, fluffy boy. Fur burns real easy, you know, Yumi said, making flames dance between her fingers. Hey, I didn't make up the call signs. Blame Fuller, it was his idea. He's in control room when they sent me out looking for you both. And yeah, trust me, I know, fire bad, Malachi said, his eight eyes locking onto the flames dancing along on her fingers. Suddenly, Fuller's voice came back over the radio. Roger that, Jumper 1-1. Where did you find them, over? He said, and Yumi gestured for Malachi to give her the radio, which he did by lowering it down on a silk strand as if he worried she'd make good on her fire threat. He found us having a nice quiet lunch on top of a tower. And just wait till we get back to HQ, I'll give you fucking Firefart. Over and out, Yumi said before Fuller's laughter cut back through the air like a knife. Roger that, Firefart 1-1. See you soon, HQ over and out, Fuller said. Yumi handed the radio back to Malachi and huffed her annoyance before suddenly bursting out in laughter and shaking her head. You can always trust Fuller to somehow break people out of themselves, she said, and Letitia looked at her in confusion. How so? She asked. He's just got this bloody way of catching you so off guard that you just end up laughing, whether you feel like it or not. You know, it's actually a rather nice feeling. I can definitely see what Glory likes in him, you know, she said, and for a moment Letitia looked worried that Yumi had put a reassuring hand on her large arm. Don't you worry, Featherbrain 1-1. When we get back, I'll make sure to get you him to change your call sign to Cute Bum 1-1. Instead, well, maybe a Feathery Arse 1-1. Yumi said playfully, and Letitia clacked her beak at her in annoyance. I think I like the first one better, but I do suppose it's better than Firefart 1-1. She shot back, making Yumi laugh in response. Yeah, and I do hope Glory won't be too pissed when I have to murder him for it, Yumi said, suddenly making Malachi appear next to them, having lowered himself down on a silk thread. Nah, I'm pretty sure despite loving him, Glory feels like murdering him quite often. Though it might be better just to singe his eyebrows off instead, Malachi said, making Letitia clack her beak in laughter. This I think I will like to see, she said. Come on, let's get back. Sometimes somebody needs a hot shave, methinks, Yumi said, playfully holding up her index finger with a flame on it. And with that, the three of them turned and headed for home. So that was chapter 148, ladies and gentlemen. It seems like Fuller might be in some hot water with emphasis on the hot. But is he going to survive his shave? And will the girls find some more time to get closer? Can only be one way to answer those questions, and so many more. Gonna have to tune in next time. So until next time, this is Ghost Nobody signing off and saying, I'll see you all next time.